If your vibe is the earlier the better, Lowe's early Black Friday deals are a no-brainer. Get up to 35% off select major appliances, and rewards members get free delivery, haul-away, basic installation, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 11/4. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. LG member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast. In this episode, we dive into the unsettling case of Jennifer Farber Dulos, who vanished on May 24, 2019. Amidst a divorce and custody battle, her estranged husband, Fotis Dulos, and his partner, Michelle Trokinis, became the center of a shocking conspiracy. Today, we bring you up to the moment coverage from the courtroom as Trokinis faces trial, accused of a role in this presumed murder.
Friday, Sergeant Ventresca was on the stand. Are we prepared to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor. Sergeant Ventresca is here. I have maybe 3 or 4 more questions for him, and then we can move on.
Thank you.
There is a preliminary matter I'd like to take up and have a motion. I have an extra copy for Your Honor. I'll hand it to the. Can I approach?
Yes.
This is an issue that I think is going to start coming up on a daily basis, so I believe we need to address it now. On Friday, the court permitted Sergeant Ventresca to explain why he did certain things and took certain actions. He then mentioned a red Tacoma as a vehicle that was, quote, associated with Mr. Dulos. And he also mentioned that Hartford, Albany Avenue, Route 44 is a, quote, high crime area, unquote, in Hartford. As part of his thought process as to why he's looking for videos. There is a lot of problems that arose from that. First of all, as it will become eminently clear, Sergeant Ventresca knew nothing, zero, about a red Tacoma, quote, associated with, unquote, Mr. Dulos, because it belonged to one of his employees, on the weekend of Labor Day of 2019. That's something he learned at least a week, if not 2 weeks later. So what that has done is opened the door to an area of the questioning that had nothing to do with the fact that Mr. Sergeant Ventresca went looking for cameras. The only issue had to do with his Ford Raptor, that they were looking to see if there were any vehicles, not specific ones, and then they saw the Ford Raptor. So getting into the Tacoma basically leaped over issues of confrontation, hearsay, and foundation, which were utterly lacking. And the witness did not mention all the other vehicles that belonged to other Ford Group employees that were working at that time for the Ford Group. So that's the first issue. Second of all, by allowing him to just opine that Route 44 and Albany Avenue, where the Jamaican bakery is and Benji's Jamaican restaurant, is a, quote, high crime area, it was unnecessarily introducing racial bias into this case, because it's also true that right down a block or two further is the Dunkin' Donuts Stadium, where the Hartford Yard Goats play AA baseball almost every single week. So now we've had to get into the fact that when he made that statement, it suggested that no white rich guy from the suburbs would have any reason to be driving on Route 44 when it also happens to be the main thoroughfare for people who work in downtown Hartford, because Route 44 turns in right there around the next corner into Main Street, a block, maybe two blocks further up. So, you know, I bring these things up now, Your Honor, because I want to emphasize this is not the trial of Fotis Dulos. It's the trial of Michelle Traconis. Whatever, I'm not here to defend Fotis Dulos or what he did or didn't do in connection with the disappearance of his wife. But the court is putting the defense in the position of having to defend that because of the fact that my client was living with Mr. Dulos, and so there's already a guilt by association problem that's arising. The motion I just filed, Your Honor, on Friday the state said it, quote, had cases, unquote, that supported the notion that what police do, they can explain their motivation and their what hearsay they hear in exchange for why they took certain action. Well, I've attached pages from Judge Prescott's version of the sixth edition of the Tate's Handbook of Connecticut Evidence, which is the seminal treatise on Connecticut evidence. And there's many cases that I have attached that are in those in that section 8.9. But the most salient comment is, quote, on page 515, a police officer's conduct is rarely relevant to the crime charged, and the officer should not be allowed to repeat statements made to the officer to explain why the officer did or did not do something.
Well, the interpreter is unable to keep up, Attorney Schoenhorn, with your presentation.
Let me repeat that slowly. A police officer's conduct is rarely relevant to the crime charged, and the officer should not be allowed to repeat statements made to the officer to explain why the officer did or did not do something. Close quote. And then there's also the fact that I then shepherdized, and there's a case that came out in 2021, which I cite, State versus Armador, that repeats that same point. And like I said, I've included a couple of pages here. Why is that important? Because if the state says it has cases to the contrary, well, you know, maybe someone needs to let Judge Prescott know that means that his subchapter is just plain wrong, and it needs to be denies based on whatever cases the state has not given to the court. And we're going to now have this happen with every witness, because we know the evidence, at least we've gone through all the evidence, and to now have to cross-examine about a red Tacoma that this detective knew nothing about until a week or two later, and it had nothing to do with what was or wasn't located on Albany Avenue. So, for example, if he had simply said, based on the phone pings that he received, they went to look for cameras, they gave that information, he wasn't around, he gave it to the other detectives to locate, and as a result, they obtained some footage. Then we could have moved right into the fact that there was footage of a Ford Raptor that was similar to one that Mr. Dulos owned. I would have had no objection to that. But now to get into a vehicle that this witness clearly knew nothing about at the time, and I'll just to preview what's to come, a week later when the police are at Fort Jefferson Crossing and they have a search warrant, Mr. Pavel Gumieni drives up Fort Jefferson Crossing, sees the police officers there, and turns around, tries to get away, only to be stopped by the police. And then we get into what he was interrogated about or what he was claiming he was doing, and then they questioned that. It didn't seem accurate. So that comes up. That's certainly going to be in the case down the road. But I don't get to confront and cross-examine this witness because he's not going to know where they got that information from. And I'm going to submit that at this point they didn't have it at all. But my bigger concern, Your Honor, is that's why I keep filing these motions in limine. The court needs to at least make the state make an offer of proof about these issues. And if it doesn't, the prejudice is that the jury gets to hear this. The state gets to do a speaking objection, so it gets to give an extra closing argument as to why it wants to get into certain evidence. And aside from it not being fair that the case proceed that way, it eventually, if it hasn't already, becomes a due process violation. And it denies the defense the right to cross-examine, because when I asked this witness, as of that date, Memorial Day weekend, he knew, he had no idea that one of the employees owned a Tacoma. So I'm also asking that be stricken at this time from the record, because I just don't know what else to do. It's a surprise. The police never, it says almost never. I'll just note that in the Armador case, which is just a couple of years old now, the issue was a witness to the case, not the police, went to the hospital at a certain time to see an acquaintance who was involved in, who had been one of the victims in that case, and went there. The notion of relevance has to do with not relevance to what the police do, it's relevance to the charges. It's relevance to the charges. And the fact that the police were looking for a car or to see whether there was a car, wondered why this suburban white guy who builds high-end homes is doing in Hartford. And there's also going to be evidence that my client was in the vehicle. She told the police, yes, she was in that vehicle, suggesting that the only reason to go to Hartford on Albany Avenue is for some nefarious reason, because it's a, quote, high crime area, which I'll note hasn't been true in 10 or 15 years. There's neighborhoods there that may be, but even the notion that Hartford and the main thoroughfare, one of two into town, is a, quote, high crime area, suggests that there's a racial aspect to that testimony, and now I have to cross-examine into that, and I just didn't think that was appropriate, nor did I want to go that way. So the state, by doing this, is opening up a can of worms, and I bring it to Your Honor's attention, because I don't know, because I have to make a record, you know, and each thing, you know, the court maybe is tired of my objections, but I have to make the record. Sometimes we did sidebar on Friday. We did a sidebar. I understand that that was not being recorded by the court monitor, but I don't know that for sure. I think I learned that after court adjourned that wasn't recorded. But what was discussed at sidebar was this idea that the police get to explain why they do certain things. I said, but they don't. The court said, well, you know, we'll see where it goes, et cetera. These things do need to be decided in advance, because otherwise, once the cat is out of the bag, it's prejudicial. And I just let the court know that, you know, I'm conscious of the concerns I have. I'm trying to defend a client here who we maintain is innocent of these charges. There's maybe a lot of evidence, at least a lot of circumstantial evidence against Fotis Doulos. Maybe in his trial, some of this, the rulings might be more appropriate, but they're not in my client's case. And therefore, I ask the court to reconsider that, to move to strike that, to strike the testimony about the motives, and to not allow it unless the state outside the presence of the jury makes an offer of proof as to why it's relevant, again, to the charges against my client, not relevant to what the police were doing. Thank you.
Well, before we hear from the state, Attorney Schoenhorn, the court never tires of objections. Counsel may tire of making objections. Court is never tired of objections. Attorney McGinnis.
Yes, Your Honor. Good morning, and may it please the court. I find it a little bit ironic that the defendant would argue that there's somehow unfair surprise to her case in this particular instance. Attorney Manning apparently was up here with Attorney Schoenhorn for the better part of 5 to 10 minutes prior to court opening, and this motion was served on us after the court came out and we opened court for the day. So, you know, obviously Attorney Schoenhorn has our email addresses. He could have handed us the motion in advance so that we could have had an opportunity to look at some of the citations. I guess for some strategic surprise reason, he chose not to do that. But let me just be heard on some of the substance, Your Honor, because these arguments are becoming more and more unhinged from the defense as this case is progressing. The only person in this courtroom that is injecting race into this proceeding is the defense. The state of Connecticut did not ask the jury to draw any sort of racial inference from the fact that it's a high crime area. I don't know what they're frankly talking about when they say that that somehow injects race into this. I think that that's sort of a ridiculous argument. If Albany Avenue is objectively a high crime area, race has nothing to do with it. And I'll just indicate, Your Honor, for the record that the title to their motion is misleading because it indicates that they want to preclude testimonial and prejudicial hearsay statements by police officers. Of course, the problem with the title, Judge, is that in order for something to be hearsay in the first instance and thus be testimonial, is that it must be offered for the truth of the matter asserted. And so evidence of information that was related to police officers and why they took subsequent action is obviously probative of the issue of the investigative steps that were taken. And, you know, we had a chance to look at Armador during the course of the defendant's argument. And what the case indicates is that it is a fact-specific inquiry and that non-hearsay can be used for the effect on the listener. There is no sort of blanket rule that the defense is asking for. And so if the defense has an issue with a particular line of inquiry taken by the state, they should object. The court doesn't tire from objections, and we should just hear those out as they come along. But this motion, which again was filed just now in court for some strategic advantage on the part of the defense to not give the state adequate opportunity to look at this and perhaps look at the entire treatise that they cited instead of just the pages that they attached to their motion, is sort of asking in advance to exclude any and all evidence of non-hearsay evidence. And I don't think that that's appropriate, Judge. And I just ask that the court deny this motion with the understanding, of course, that the defense can object if they feel that somehow the evidence is not probative. But I don't see how something could possibly be hearsay if it's not being offered for a hearsay purpose.
Let me just respond briefly, Your Honor. Now, it was not my intention to work over the weekend to have to come up with a motion, which when I was down here, I wrote last night and I brought with me this morning. Whether or not the state was in the room for 5 minutes or more before, as Your Honor notes, when the court came out on the bench, I was still setting up. So pulling things out, et cetera, is what I have to do to get ready. But it's not just the Artemore case, Judge. It's all the cases cited in what I attached right from the Tate's handbook. It's O'Shea versus Minone.
M-I-G-N-O-N-E. It's State versus Robinson. It's State versus Gonzalez with an S. It's State versus Evans. It's State versus Sweeney. And State versus Vega, which is in the CONAP case, 48 CONAP case. So this isn't one case. This is a long line of cases. And in the Armador case, the court sets forth that police should never be able to, almost never. And then they allowed in a non-police officer to explain why that individual went to the hospital to see the victim because it showed advanced knowledge, which was relevant to the charges against Mr. Armador. So I don't understand even the state's argument. This is also Ms. Manning's witness, so I'm not sure why I'm hearing from Mr. McGinnis instead of the lawyer who's propounding that particular evidence, unless the court, then anyone can argue any point of law if an objection is made. That's not my experience, but if that's the court allows it, I'm not gonna stand on ceremony. It's just that we don't have Mr. McGinnis propounding that evidence. We don't have even an offer as to why it was important for that officer to blurt out something that that officer had no knowledge about at the time. It's being done as self-serving to try and create a closing argument when there's no evidence to support it. If then the officer even had said, we then saw a red Tacoma in the video and that's why we seized it. The next group of questions, he's gonna be asked to describe what he saw in a screenshot of a video. That's where we ended for the day. And again, it's gonna be the same issue. It was seized and someone else can testify. And I'll note, I've agreed with most of these witnesses. They don't have to call the store owner or the owner of the camera system to explain it. I've offered to avoid that step. But if the court is going to allow witnesses to basically ignore the relevance and hearsay rules, then I'm going to no longer agree to that. And then they're going to have to call each camera owner to authenticate what's in there, because otherwise there's nobody to cross-examine. So I stand by my arguments. It seems to me that it's black letter law, at least in Connecticut, that it shouldn't be allowed. And they're going to do this with every witness. You're going to do with every witness, every police witness.
Just briefly, Judge, a couple things. To begin with, as I recall, Attorney Schoenhorn argued a motion in limine the other day with respect to a witness that Attorney Felsen was going to be handling. So I'm not really sure what he is indicating when he says that it has to be one witness. If we're dealing specifically with motions, Your Honor, the court has allowed counsel the leeway to argue those motions, and the defense actually took advantage of that very fact the other day. So I'm not really sure where they're going with that, but I'll also just note that the motion itself is written not just specific to Sergeant Ventresca. As a matter of fact, I don't see his name even mentioned in the motion. It is for all police officers. So the idea that the state can't have someone else argue it, I think, is a little bit specious, quite frankly. And I'll just note, Your Honor, that, you know, the defense is, essentially trying to engage in legal extortion by indicating that they're going to renege on their previous agreements simply because the court is overruling objections. I think that's, frankly, low rent. And I'd like to just address the merits of this, which is this is a fact-specific inquiry, whether or not something is effect on the listener, something for the court to decide. If it's relevant, if it's the danger of unfair prejudice outweighs it, those are the inquiries the court has to do. And I'm asking that the court deny their motion without prejudice, and they can raise these objections when they come up.
Thank you.
Court will first address motions in limine in general. A motion in limine is designed to exclude from even the jury's hearing certain evidence that is unfairly prejudicial. For example, we had an example earlier in the trial. If the motion in limine called for exclusion of all evidence concerning marital discord. Then the motion in limine should also indicate what that evidence is so that the court can determine whether that evidence is unfairly prejudicial. It's not the category of testimony that the court looks to in determining whether to grant a motion in limine. It is the specific facts or fact that the proponent of the motion believes is highly prejudicial and unfairly prejudicial. What the court sees here is a motion in limine to preclude certain categories of testimony. Well, as both counsel are experienced, both counsel are not trying their first case. A witness can say anything at any time. It is not the court's role prior to hearing the evidence to help draft a script for a witness or a category of witnesses. A witness can begin to testify before a question is asked. It's not the court's role to stop the witness. The court is not counsel. It is not the court's role to pave the road for the state, and it is not the court's role to pave the road for the defense. It's not the court's role to set a pick, to use a basketball phrase, for the state. It's not the court's role to set a pick for the defense. That is left to the skill and experience and the training of counsel to bring an objection to the attention of the court by objecting. The motion is denied. You can bring the jury in, please. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Would counsel stipulate?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes.
Thank you.
Your Honor, I believe we left off with Sergeant Ventresca.
Thank you.
Right outside, if I may.
Sergeant Ventresca is still under oath. You may be seated, Sergeant.
Sir, Honor.
Thank you. May I inquire, Your Honor?
Yes.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Morning. How are you?
Just a couple questions. When we left off on Friday...
I can't hear you with this gentleman talking right in my ear.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Sir, with respect to when we left off on Friday, we were talking about 304 Albany Avenue. Do you recall that testimony?
Yes.
Based on what you learned from 304 Albany Avenue, what did you do?
I alerted the Troop L Major Crime Office, and I wanted to get a detective sent over to 304 Albany Avenue to pull that video.
And When you said Troop L, what is that?
Litchfield, Western District Major Crime Field Office.
Okay. Is that part of Western District Major Crimes that you are?
Yes.
And are you the sergeant in charge of that, Troop L?
Not Troop L, no.
Which sergeant is it?
Sergeant Bisson.
And after, at some point, did you receive information from that, from a officer with respect to 304 Albany Avenue?
Yes.
Who was that officer?
Detective Fitzsimons.
Based, without telling me what he said or gave, based on what, on that information, did you take any steps?
Yes. So it was the Thursday the 30th when that detective learned of that, what was on that video. It was a vehicle in question. I alerted Central District Major Crime, which is the Troop H Field Office, to get a detective over to Hartford C4, the Hartford Capital City Command Center.
And what day was that?
It was Thursday the 30th.
Did you ever send anybody from Western District Major Crimes to C4?
Yeah, I sent Detective Buten on Friday the 31st to go to C4 as well.
Detective Buten, is he assigned to your unit?
Yes, Western District Major Crime. He was assigned to the Troop G Field Office.
I have nothing further. Thank you.
Okay.
Cross-examination.
Is it so, Sergeant Contreras?
Yes, sir.
I think we met. I'm John Schoenhorn. I represent Michelle Traconis. When you talk about Albany Avenue in Hartford, you also refer to it as Route 44, correct?
Yes.
And that's United States Highway 44, correct?
I would assume so if it's 44, yes.
Well, it's U.S. 44, yes. Right? And that's a major thoroughfare between Albany, New York, and I believe it goes to somewhere near Providence, Rhode Island, doesn't it?
I don't know.
I take it you've never had to be a trooper in eastern Connecticut, right?
No, never.
So that would be covered by troops that you visit very seldom, like Troop C, right? Troop K, that part of the state?
It's covered by those troops, yes.
But not you?
Not me.
All right. But you also know that this is a major thoroughfare, multi-lane from Avon, across Avon Mountain, right?
Right.
And you said you were on, you were at one point at Fort Jefferson Crossing, where my client and Mr. Dulles lived, right?
Right.
And then if you take the side road Deer Cliff, you come to Route 44, isn't that right?
Correct.
And then you take Route 44 down. It's at least, it's a four-lane road, right?
I'm not sure of the lanage on 44.
But it's a major thoroughfare, right?
I would say it's a major route, yes.
And then you come into West Hartford, right?
Yes, east of Hartford, yes. Or west of Hartford, I'm sorry.
West Hartford, yes. Okay, fair enough. And then you stay on Route 44. It becomes a commercial area in West Hartford, right?
Yes.
And then you get to the University of Hartford, right there on Albany Avenue, isn't it? Right there in the corner?
I'm not sure the exact address, but I know UHART is in that area, yes.
UHART, that's a fairly large private university right there, right?
I don't know if it's large, but I know it's a private university.
Well, it's large yes. Landscape is what I mean, like land.
Right. I don't know the acreage.
Fair enough. And then you cross the, I guess it's the Park River, and then that becomes Hartford right there, doesn't it?
Again, I can't tell you exactly where the city limits are. If you're saying it is, then...
All right, well, we looked at a map. Right. I could put it back up, but I just don't want to show the map again. But one of the things we saw when you were showing the various streets in Hartford along Route 44, there's a McDonald's right there, right?
I don't recall.
You don't recall seeing that on
McDonald's,
the map?
No.
Or the satellite view, I mean.
No.
And you also know that if you go down another couple of blocks, you get to the Yard Goats baseball stadium, right? A double-A team stadium is right there, right?
I think it's there.
Yeah, so that's the Yard Goats is a professional baseball team, right?
Right.
And that was there in 2019, wasn't it?
I believe so. You're talking Dunkin' Donuts?
The Dunkin' Donuts Stadium right there, right? And that you understand that a lot of people come from the suburbs to watch double-A baseball.
Absolutely.
So when you use the term that that portion of Route 44 was a, quote, high crime area, was it because there was a Jamaican restaurant there?
No, it's referring to the city of Hartford.
The city is it? Okay.
Yes.
All right. But you didn't know if Mr. Dulos had any business in Hartford at all, do you?
Not that we knew of at the time.
You knew that he built large homes, right?
Yes.
And but you don't know whether he owned or built in Hartford, do you?
Did not know at that time.
And you didn't know if he had any dumpsters available at that time either, did you?
Did not know at that time.
When you drove past Fort Jefferson Crossing, you didn't see a dumpster,
no.
Did you? There was a for sale sign there, though, wasn't there? In front of his house.
At four?
The pictures we saw.
At four? I can't remember if there was a for sale sign at four back then, back in May 24th.
Okay. So we're talking about that Memorial Day weekend, right? Correct?
Correct.
And you did go past 80 Mountain Spring Road, right?
Yes.
And you knew that was a house that was being built or had just been built by the Ford Group as of that date, right?
Yes.
And you, in fact, testified on Friday that you saw one of those large banner for sale signs showing the Ford Group in the picture, right?
Yeah, something similar, yes.
And you couldn't remember if it was actually in front of the house or by the street, but you remember something similar like that outside.
I remember there was something down by the road, the base of the driveway. I couldn't tell you what was up by the house.
Well, indicating the house was for sale, right?
Right.
And as of that date, did you know whether or not there were showings at that house on 80 Mountain Spring?
No, I did not know.
You were also testifying on Friday that there were different kinds of cars that you believed were, quote, I think you used the word, affiliated with, unquote, Mr. Dulos. Is that right?
I would say that's right, yes.
Yeah. You mentioned a red Tacoma as one of those cars. Remember saying that?
Yes, sir.
Now, as of Memorial Day weekend, you didn't know anything about a red Tacoma belonging to one of Mr. Dulos' employees, did you?
Yes.
That weekend you found
yes,
out about
that
it?
Sunday. Or I'm sorry, that Monday. Not the weekend, but the Monday.
Okay, but when you were driving around on, I think you said the weekend,
no,
right?
Yes.
You were looking for cameras and whatnot, right? You didn't know anything at that point about
not on Sunday about the red truck.
Okay. And you knew that belonged to an employee of Mr. Dulos named
We learned that on Monday.
Right. Named Pavel Gumieni.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. It wasn't registered to Pavel.
It was registered. Well, that's another.
It wasn't registered to Pavel's wife. Yes.
Correct. It was not registered to Mr. Dulos, was it?
No.
Wasn't registered to Michelle Traconis.
No.
And it wasn't registered to the Ford Group, the company?
No.
Did you look into any other vehicles that were owned by other employees of the Ford Group at that time?
Yes, we did.
That weekend?
That weekend, when we set up our command post, we put every employee that was listed on the Ford Group website on our whiteboard. And we looked into every employee. And in fact, we sent leads out that weekend to start interviewing those employees. And part of that process when we put them on the whiteboard is to gather intelligence through law enforcement databases and searches to determine what vehicles people drive, where they live, what their phone numbers are, etc.
Were you looking for other vehicles of the other employees as you drove along Albany Avenue on Route 44?
No.
And you did know that that red Tacoma was about 20 years old, correct? It was
yes.
a 2001 Tacoma, right?
Yes.
And were you aware that it was leaking oil and was in bad condition?
Very aware.
Incidentally, you didn't look for any leaking oil along the route you were traveling, did you?
No. I mean, there's multiple vehicles that drive routes. There's multiple oil stains all over the roads.
But these are all things you learned a little bit later. Is that correct?
Well, that Monday I learned about the Tacoma through a neighborhood canvas. So we put that vehicle on our list of vehicles on that Monday.
By the way, you didn't know whether Mr. Dulos had ever been known to dump construction garbage at locations where he should not have been doing that, did you?
Not that day, no.
On any day?
No, never.
Now, in your career as a state trooper, have you ever had to investigate an illegal dumping case,
No.
even as a road trooper?
No.
Isn't that something state police sometimes?
Sometimes. I mean, mostly like debris on the highway. You know, people throw couches out along the highways and such like that.
Oh, you ever seen contractors doing that so they don't have to pay for a dumpster?
No.
Never.
No.
And so that we're clear, you said that when you saw the camera on the Jamaican restaurant awning, you said you referred it to, I think you said Troop L. Is that what you said?
Yes.
You mean Troop H?
No, Troop L, Western District Major Crime Field Office.
Well, wasn't Troop H just right down the street from where the Albany Avenue is? Like maybe 6 blocks?
I think it's on Washington and Hartford.
Yeah, isn't Washington, it's right near the Capitol, right?
Yes.
And you didn't contact them?
No.
And incidentally, on May 31st, 2023, was Detective Fitzsimons assigned to the Western District Major Crime Squad?
On May 31st? What year
did
you say?
I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. On May 25th and 6th, when you asked him to go look for cameras.
He was assigned to Western District Major Crime Squad, yes.
Right. And was he assigned as a detective or as a trooper at that?
Detective in the Troop L Field Office.
Right. I just have a moment.
Okay.
Yes.
Nothing further. Thank you.
Sergeant May, step down.
Thank you, Your Honor.
If I may call it Mike Fitzsimons, please. If I may have a moment, Your Honor.
Yes.
Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, Fitzsimons, F-I-T-Z-S-I-M-O-N-S.
You may be seated.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Governor, may I inquire?
Yes.
Thank you. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Mr. Fitzsimons, did you previously work for the Connecticut State Police?
Yes, I did for 25 years.
Okay. When did you part company with the Connecticut State Police?
It will be 2 years, March of this year.
Okay. Did you retire?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And at what rank did you retire at?
Detective.
Was there a particular division of the Connecticut State Police that you worked at when you retired?
The Western District Major Crime Squad.
And what troop were you assigned to?
I was assigned to the Troop L office.
Who was your supervisor?
Sergeant Al Bisson.
And could you briefly just describe to the jury some of your training and experience as a Connecticut State Police officer?
Initially, I was hired by the State Police. I attended the State Police Academy. There were trained and tested in the all the academia skills and procedures necessary to become certified as a police officer. I successfully completed the training academy. When I graduated the academy, I was assigned as a patrol trooper. I was initially stationed at Troop L up in Litchfield. I was there for approximately 8 years. Throughout my 25 years, I've had several several assignments from as a canine handler and a member of our state police tactical unit and an instructor at the academy as a firearms instructor. But a majority of my career, actually 16 years of my career, I was with the Western District Major Crime Squad.
Thank you, sir. If I could just have one moment.
Yes.
Detective Fitzsimons, were you working with the Western District Major Crimes Squad in May of 2019?
Yes, I was.
And what troop were you assigned to again? Where were you headquartered out of?
I was with the Troop L office, which is also located at the Western District headquarters.
And is that
again, in the Western District is comprised of, as far as the major crime offices and the troops, are four offices and four troops. And again, we kind of work all in concert together. I kind of equate it to like those you live in cities where there's multiple firehouses. Sometimes you only need one firehouse. Other times you may need several. So we kind of work together.
And I'm going to draw your attention specifically to May 29th of 2019. What was your assignment that day?
I was assigned to assist with obtaining a copy of video surveillance from an establishment on Albany Ave in Hartford.
And what was that address, sir?
The average was 304 Albany Ave, and the point I was supposed to meet, the name of the establishment was Benji's 2 Seafood Restaurant.
Just inquire of the court and the all the TVs are on.
The court's monitor is on.
It is on. Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you.
Hold on, this one.
Do you have it? Your Honor, with respect to States 34, there are two items on it that have already been admitted through other witnesses. However, the last two have not. Sir, if I can draw your attention to the screen behind you, I'm going to show you what's been marked as, I guess, picture two. Do you recognize what's depicted in that photograph, sir?
Yes, I do.
And what is that?
That is Benji's 2 Seafood Restaurant.
And is that the restaurant you went to on May 29, 2019?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And why did you go there?
I was assigned by my supervisor to download. They had video surveillance there. Information was received or passed on to me that they believed there was information, believing Photos Doulos was in the area of Albany Avenue on May 24th, sometime between 7 and 8 p.m.
Now, did you speak to anybody at the restaurant without saying what they said, please? But did you speak to anybody?
Yes.
Okay, and were you able to download any video?
Yes, I was.
Okay. I'm going to actually draw your attention to this screen again, picture one. Sir, if you need to, Your Honor, may I just ask him to
Certainly.
Step near the screen? Thank you. If you can, does that picture or map, if you will, depict where you went that day on May 29th?
Yes, it does.
If you could please point that out.
In this area, right here at the Albany Avenue area, near the intersection, that's Green Street.
I can.
The knife and fork are.
Where the knife and fork are. It says Island Fish Head Jamaican Restaurant, sir. Is that the restaurant you went to?
It was called, as far as I know, Benji's 2 Seafood Restaurant. I don't know when this
Okay. And that would be the Benjis in picture two?
Yes.
At the time.
Albany.
So in 2019, is this what the intersection of Albany and Green looked like?
Yes.
Thank you. Now, sir, with respect to the, you can have a seat. I'm sorry. Thank you. Did you look for a specific time frame?
Yes, I did.
What was that time frame?
The time frame was between 7 and 8 p.m. from May 24th.
Okay. And did you ask for a specific between 7 and 8 p.m.?
Normally, I kind of create a buffer, so I probably have some time around 6:48, 6:45 to approximately 8:25. I usually give about a 15, 20 minutes on each end just to count for any anomalies.
And did you watch the video on scene while you were there at the restaurant?
No, I did not.
Okay. With respect to that day when you received the video, what did you do next?
Once it was downloaded onto the thumb drive or flash drive, I transported it to my office in Litchfield. Once I got to the office, I inserted it in my computer, viewed it on the screen to make sure I had a copy. I wasn't coming back with an empty thumb drive. Once I saw that I had a recording, I made a copy of it, a working copy. And then what I do with the original is I take that and put it in evidence for safekeeping.
Was the video continuous or motion activated?
It was continuous.
Okay. And did you review that video?
I did.
And where were you when you reviewed that video?
I was at my office.
Did you have a specific assignment in your review of that video, or was there something in particular you were looking for?
I was reviewing the working copy. Again, I wanted to make sure that I successfully made a copy. Again, we'll make copies of the original. That way I can disseminate it to the lead officer or counsel, what have you, down the road. That minimizes damaging or losing the original. Again, the original was evidence. So as I was going through the working copy, ensuring that I had successfully downloaded it, I was aware of the vehicle, one of the vehicles, or the vehicles Fotostulos had registered to him. And then while going through and ensuring the copy, I noticed what appeared to be a vehicle consistent with Mr. Dulos's vehicle.
What type of vehicle was that?
A black Ford Raptor.
Do you recall what time that vehicle or a vehicle consistent with a...
Approximately 7:40 p.m.
And after you saw that on the video, what did you do, if anything?
Through reviewing it, kind of monitor it, and as the vehicle had made a U-turn, it was coming back.
Your Honor, I'm going to object to him giving a narration. The video will speak for itself. So the fact that he reviewed it, he logged it in, I assume that she wants to show the video. I'm not objecting to that, but I object to a sort of running sideline play-by-play.
That's fine, Your Honor. I can, it be states 35. I can play that now with...
Thank you. It's sustained.
No objection.
Thank you. I can, sir. I'm going to draw your attention to the screen behind you. If I may just have one moment.
Yes.
Recognize what's depicted on that screen?
Yes, that is an easterly view of Albany Avenue at the front of the Benji's restaurant.
Okay, when you say easterly view, let me just ask you, if somebody was driving away from the screen towards the upper right, is that towards Hartford or away from Hartford?
That would be towards Hartford.
Okay. Thank you. I can, I hit the wrong. I apologize, Your Honor, I hit the wrong button. Okay, I'm going to stop it there, sir. If you wouldn't mind, Your Honor, may I ask him to go to the screen? Sir, if you can, just on the upper, if you could point on the upper left-hand corner of that video screen, what does that time, what's it, is that a time stamp? Is that?
The upper left, the 05/24/2019 is the date and year. Friday, and then 07:40. And 55 seconds p.m.
Now, after you watched this video, sir, did you take any screenshots of the video?
Yes, I did.
And what did you do with those screenshots?
Once I took the screenshots, I'd saved them, printed them out, and I ultimately disseminated it to the Troop G office.
I believe this is states 34. Your Honor, at this time, there are two items on states 34 that are for ID only, unless a counsel has no objection at this point.
No objection.
Then if we can move the entire of states 34 as a full exhibit, those two items that the state is planning on introducing at this time also appear on Sergeant Ventresca's as ID, but if they are moved as full now.
State 34 will be admitted as a full exhibit.
Thank you. Sir, I'm gonna show you what's been in Martha's picture three out of states 34. Do you recognize that?
Yes, I do.
And what is it?
That is a screenshot of the Ford Raptor.
Is that the screenshot that you took?
Yes, it is.
And disseminated?
Yes, it is.
And picture four?
That is another screenshot of the Ford Raptor.
And is that the screenshot that you took?
Yes, it is.
And disseminated?
Yes.
I have nothing further, thank you.
Cross-examination.
No questions.
Thank you. Well, we will refer to you as detective. You may step down.
Thank you, sir.
And, Your Honor, I believe if I can, Josh Quint, please.
Seated, thank you.
May Your Honor.
There's more to come at the Michelle Troconis trial in the Jennifer Farber Doulos case. The mystery deepens and justice seeks its course. Press subscribe now and stay tuned for more episodes unraveling the truths behind the most perplexing criminal cases from true crime today.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home. with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient unlocked. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.